talking with, and no difference at all today. We have, from the singing city, the one and only Tony Davis from The Spinners. Tony, a very, very warm welcome to you. I did indeed. Thank you for that, by the way.
I thought you might enjoy it.
Tony, I'm going to ask you something.
That was my whistle and Huey singing.
And there's some lovely memories because, you never know in life who you're going to talk to at what point in time. And, of course, you know, we'd see you up on the stage. Philharmonic, I think, was the last time I saw you actually there. Gregson's Well would be another one that I used to go into.
Those early days, yes.
Oh, they were very, very early days. And I've got... This has haunted me all my life. I've got to ask you this. What does this mean? A Ramsasa.
I don't know.
Gully, Ramsasa.
We don't know. We just learnt it.
Oh, we
don't know what it means. We know it's supposed to be Middle Eastern. Was Hebrew or Arab? I'm not sure, but no, nobody seems to know.
And yet, you know, even on Friday of last week, when I was telling a gentleman that you were going to be on the radio with us on today,
yeah.
I just related, the minister started saying that, he also knew those words. And then
Oh, Ramsasa.
Yes, he did. And then also, he started singing to me a song which I think might have been Swahili. Do you remember?
Atikatali.
That's the one.
Oh, that's beautiful, that is. That's wonderful. That was a freedom song.
Wow. And of course, you see...
We do not care if we go to prison. It is for freedom that we gladly go.
So that'd be part of the Ladybird stuff, that, wouldn't it?
We actually were singing that in our club one night, and there was a guy in the audience, a black guy from South Africa, and he was in tears. He said he'd never heard his own language sung before by white people.
That's lovely, that.
And a freedom song, yeah.
Now, I'm introducing you to somebody who's been on a bill with you many times.
He played many times. He had Paul Melba.
Oh, well, Paul.
How are you?
And the last time...
Done quite a bit.
Paul, you were saying the last time that you'd worked...
At the Empire.
Think, yeah, could you Empire, just go over who was on the bill?
Was that the Command Performance?
It was a Liverpool job for Children in Need, and I think it was a Liverpool Command Performance, and it was Rita Tushingham, myself, you... I think Stan Boardman was on.
There was a whole stack of people on, weren't there?
There was a stack of us all on. They were all Liverpool guys.
Yeah.
That were on it. It was really nice. And we had a quick chat, I think. I don't know which you I was speaking to. Or a quick chat at the side of the stage, and whether it was OP or prompt, I don't know. But it had a quick how do you do, and then off, because you know what these things are like anyway. You don't get much chance to chat to anybody.
Well, we've just been to an awards ceremony the Liverpool Echo did. They held it in the public library, the big library there. And... the music award went to the Beatles, of course, but we got runners-up, which was rather nice.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, no, I think it's fabulous.
Cliff happened to be over from Australia, so he was there. Yeah, we were all turned up, and it was rather nice. I wanted the Mersey to get an award. I think they should get a lifetime achievement and freedom of the city. I've always thought the idea of the Mersey marching through Liverpool with drums beating and banners flying would be lovely.
yeah.
Fixed bayonets, you know.
Tony, I've got to ask you. There was a time when, you know, folk was really probably at a zenith for the city of Liverpool. Why do you think it is that it's sort of not quite as high profile as when you were, you know, in your heydays with the Spinners?
Well, nobody's got as big a mouth as I have. No, I think that things move on, you know. There's marvellous things. I mean, there's a young lady called Catherine Tickell from Newcastle, plays the pipes and the fiddle, and she's just wonderful. And she's very, very well known around the circuit. And she's crossed over. She doesn't just do traditional folk, you know.
Yes.
And you've got people like that, and there's a lot of young people coming up doing marvellous things.
Of course, it's like everything. You tend to pick the highlights of your own memories, and sometimes you're a bit clouded into what you've remembered, really. But I do remember the sessions that you had at Gregson's Well was very early days. I remember being taken up to see you work in there, that, which was the first time I think I ever saw
it. In your pram?
I think it was, actually. I could probably well have been the member of RAM. No, I tell you where I was working at the time. I was working in, do you remember the Victoria buildings in Brownlow Hill?
Oh, yeah.
I worked there. That was my first job after I'd left school. Now, you're Wallasey lad, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I lived there. Yeah. I've lived there since I was 14, but I wasn't born here, but I was born in Blackburn.
Oh, right. Blackburn, no, I never knew that.
So my sister's gone to live. Great Harwood, she lives in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't remember it very well. We left when I was about 2 or 3. But it's funny, I went into hospital, to have these legs done. And when I was first in there, this fella came over from a bed opposite. And he was a caricature, the stereotype of all the Pakistanis you've ever seen. He had a long robe on and a flowing white beard and a skull cap. And, and he said, "Where does it come from, lad?"
Oh, yes.
And I said, "Well, I was actually born in Blackburn." He said, "That couldn't have been. That's the wrong colour."
Well, it's perfectly true, though, isn't it?
Oh, he was lovely.
Bradford's, well, of course, Bradford.
Coming from him, I mean, white person had said it, you'd be racist,
Yeah.
But he said it was... The whole ward just cracked up,
I remember...
But he said it at the top of his voice.
I remember parking my car in Blackburn, and I must have been round the corner from a mosque, and we're going back 70s.
Yeah.
And, I found it very, very intimidating and a bit threatening.
Let me just
explain. Because I'd never, ever... don't forget, from the Wirral up to Blackburn was a bit of a culture shock for me the first time I ever saw it. Mm. And the thing is, it's like a lot of things. Until you become a little bit more familiar with exactly what's going on, we didn't have that sort of population on the Wirral.
I think being in folk music, being interested in folk music, or being in jazz in particular, because I started out when I was 14, got interested in jazz. You become you don't become Jim Crow. You become Crow Jim. Black is beautiful, and there's no way that anything black ever upset me from the time I was 14 on. My heroes were all the black musicians, you see.
Well, now, funny that you say this, because I have exactly the same sort of feeling, because basically as a disc jockey, I used to play lots of things like... All the talent stuff, the James Brown, Stevie Wonder, all that sort of thing. And of course, this is where I was going to go next, is the fact that music transcends all these types of problems, doesn't it?
Sure, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, when you started, or when the Spinners started, how did the group, as they were then known, how did it start?
Oh, my God. Well, let's see, how can we say? It started out, I had a skiffle group. Oh, you don't want to go back to how the skiffle group was formed.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to see that, because I love to trace things. And
well, all right, when I went to college, there was nobody there playing jazz, as far as I could make out. So I borrowed a guitar off my then-fiancé, the lady I later married, poor woman, made my slave. I borrowed her guitar, sat on the edge of my bed, learned to play 3 chords, and I bamboozled one guy there into playing a T-chest bass, which the Christian Brothers thought was rather strange. We used to hang it from, one of the gas pipes in my room, and Brother David was always saying, "That drum thing, you should not have that drum thing there, Mr. Davis." Anyway, we had a skiffle group, and it went on, it got to be quite well known. We did the Liverpool Empire with Michael Holliday and the Squadroners. A big concert with the Squadroners and Michael Holliday at the Empire. The Gin Mill Skiffle Group. And we played at the Cavern. They asked us, Lonnie Donegan came and asked us, would we run a folk and skiffle club for him at the Cavern. And Alan Sittner, who ran the Cavern, lovely man who died recently, he he asked us to be resident every Wednesday night. So every Wednesday night we were at the Cavern with the Gin Mill Skiffle Group. And eventually all these skiffle groups started adding electric guitars and going electric. And when Lonnie went electric for a while, and
we didn't like that.
Yeah, and I said to Mick, I've had enough, it's all yours. Take the. He said, no, I don't like it either. So we disbanded the group. And I looked in the telephone directory for folk music, and I found the English Folk Dance and Song Society. So we went along to one of their meetings, and they were all singing sea shanties out of books. Ladies with hats on singing sea shanties. But they were awfully nice people, very nice people, and they saw our guitars and asked us to play them. Anyway, we got very interested, and we started playing at the intervals at country dances around Merseyside. And it growed like Topsy, I suppose. My sister, who liked the Irish and Scottish ballads, came in to sing with us, and Bebel, my wife, sang with us, and Mick's wife occasionally did the odd number. We got a guy called Stan Francis came in, who made guitars, made 12-string guitars for people like Lonnie Donegan and Pete Seeger and so on, and we eventually had this skiffle group called the Gin Mill Skiffle Group, and then eventually became the Spinners.
Well done.
And that was... Cliff worked on a building site with me, and Bella and I had been to eat with him and his wife a few times in a flat in Liverpool, in Hill Street, and I'd seen a guitar on the bed, so I knew he played guitar a bit, and he said, no, man, I just play country music. But I said, well, you must know some Jamaican songs, you know, Linstead Market.
Ah, that's the one I was going to ask you about.
Right.
Yeah, Back Liza.
Yeah.
Cliff came in to give a bit of colour to the group, as he says.
Yeah,
and that was the Spinners, how it began.
The Christian Brothers link. Which school was it? Were you at?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, the original Christian Brothers school. That was when I was a little boy. I was in Crosby.
At St Mary's.
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah.
Crosby, but not for very long because my mother died, and we went to live in Wallasey with my grandmother, and went to St Peter and Paul's in.
No, the only reason I was going to ask you, because I went to St Anselm's, and of course...
Oh, you snooty bugger. Well, I went to Wallasey Grammar School for years.
Yeah, okay. Did you play rugby?
Not very well. I was swimming and boxing, mate. I was captain of swimming, captain of boxing.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, there's all sorts of little strands that seem to weave... They do, don't they? They weave in and out of lots of people's lives.
Yeah.
And there is something about going to the Christian Brothers colleges that seems to keep coming out in a lot of the interviews that we talk with people. Quite interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the proddy dogs? Don't they get a lick in?
Proddy dogs.
That's going back a long time. That's Liverpool 60s, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Tony, what was the place that you played at in Wallasey? There was a place, and I couldn't remember it.
Who are you talking about, the Spinners or before the Spinners?
As the Spinners.
God, did we play anywhere in Wallasey?
You did. There was a place you used to go to in Wallasey.
What, did we play in New Brighton at the Crow?
I think you did, didn't you? I think you did.
It must have been very... Yeah, that we did, because, Robin Hall and Jimmy McGregor were with us once or twice, yeah.
Mm.
Robin and Jimmy, you remember them?
Yes, I do.
They came and guested with us, yeah. Yeah, we played at the Crow.
That's another task on my list. I've got to speak with John Stanley, who's still about, apparently.
Yes, he is indeed. Oh, he's a mogul now. He's got pubs all over Wallasey.
Has he really?
Yeah. About four pubs, I think.
And I mean, I can remember that the Crawl used to do his own bouncing there.
Well, when he needed to, he didn't really need to. He only needed to stand up and loom over them.
He did. He was a big lad, wasn't he?
Foreboding person, yeah. Good man, John. I had a great deal of time for him.
I think he did a wonderful job for a lot of young people with that club. I think we all have great memories.
The Crawl, and later the Golden Guinea, it was called.
Yeah.
But he's still got quite a few places around.
A lot of people, you know, are quite surprised when we talk about the fact that there was the skiffle at the Cavern.
Mm.
Now, you were involved in this, I take.
Well, very much so, because, as I say, Alan Sittner asked us to run a skiffle night, you see.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday. So every week on a Wednesday, we did the skiffle night. We did it one week we were resident, the other week it was Ron McKay's skiffle group. Ron McKay went on to become a very, very good drummer with his own band and other bands, and he played with Phil Mason and Acker Bilk and all sorts of people. Ron's a very nice guy. He's come from Manchester. He's just retired from playing actively now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He was still playing beautifully, but I think he'd had enough of travelling, you know?
Yes.
And he had it one week, and we did it the other week.
And why and how did Lonnie Donegan get involved in this? Because he wasn't from that part.
Originally, Lonnie's secretary was one of Mick's old flames. How many old flames, Mick? And we got to know her well. I knew Lonnie from jazz through jazz sort of thing. And I don't know, he knew about what we were doing. And he asked us if we'd like to run a Lonnie Donegan folk and skiffle night, once a month, and run. He was told he could use the cavern, and so Mick was elected president of the local branch of the Lonnie Donegan Folk and Skiffle Club. It lasted for about 6 months, I think, and then all the kids wanted to do was to hear Lonnie's latest hit, and that was really all they were interested in. Lonnie wanted them to get interested in the traditional folk music, you know,
yes.
Both American and British, and they wouldn't. They didn't want to know that. It was just, to them, it was the pop music of the day, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Lonnie, I remember going, I got back a long way with Lonnie, 1959 when I first met him.
Yeah.
And we did bits and pieces, but I was in the thing called the Coronets then.
Yeah.
And we were at North Pier in 1960 with Michael Holliday.
At Blackpool.
And he was, Des O'Connor was fifth on the bill then.
Michael Holliday was a lovely
And he
man.
Was very close to, Des O'Connor was a close friend of Lonnie's. They'd become very
That's
friendly
right.
together.
Well, the funny thing was that Des O'Connor started out as the comedian.
That's right, he was
Lonnie
a
Donegan
red coat.
Package. Who were the two? The man and wife, husband and wife team.
Not the Crankies?
No, the husband and wife team used to sing.
Tony Hatch?
Country music.
Oh, country music.
Oh,
what was their names? Anyway, Lonnie's team was himself and these two doing country music, and this comedian, Des O'Connor. He didn't sing.
Yeah, oh no, he didn't. No, actually, he's not. He's got to play. I know they take the mic out of his voice.
He's
not a bad voice at all.
No, he's lovely.
And I think it would lend, his voice would lend to folk anyway. He had a folky type song.
He was a pop singer, but nevertheless, yeah.
I mean, his vibrato. He had a very severe vibrato. He reckons he does a very good Dean Martin, but you know, that good. But his vibrato was so close that I thought it would lend to the likes of folk music anyway, rather than, you know, pop music, because it was too severe.
Did you ever have any trouble with your vibrato, Tony?
No, I go regular every morning.
Tony, you know this business of the folk singers putting their ear, you know, in the hand to the ear?
Yeah. Yes.
If you cup your hand around
your ear and not jam it over it, but cup it round it.
You can hear
it amplifies your voice into your ear. You can hear yourself more clearly.
You can hear every little idiosyncrasy, can't you? In fact, old band calls used to do that. When you were in band call, you used to cup it so you wouldn't get disturbed with the little ups and downs in the orchestra. You know, you'd be filed in on your own, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, you can either cup your hand around your ear and let it come, your voice come to it, or you can jam your hand against your face and get it through the bone.
That's right, yeah.
Which is what you and McCall used to do.
I'm doing that now, actually.
You can hear it, can't you?
Yeah, it's quite nice, isn't it?
Cup it. Your hand is too flat to get your face. If you put your hand behind your ear and just let it cup, just cup it, and you'll get this playback. Is he getting playback now, yeah? You're getting playback. I'm getting a ringing noise in my
Tony, would the Spinners ever reform? Would they ever do anything together?
You don't want four old men doddering onto the stage. No, I think the idea of it is absolutely appalling.
Listen.
Sanctuary Records have brought out a thing they called Maggie May, the Best of the Spinners. Mm-hmm. And that was the track I played here. And in fact, the photograph on the front of it is one of the very, very, very first photographs ever taken of us. It was a photo session with a tractor and a haystack and God knows what on it. And we're squatting around there looking terribly young. And it was taken by David Redfern, the great show business, jazz and folk and everything else, photographer that you can think of. He took that photograph. He had us up on a haystack, and he was down below, and then we made him get up on the haystack, and we were down below. But that photograph comes from that session, and the music on it is the very, very last concert we did at the Thill, which was done, which an audience of people from the Trade Union Centre, because the record company that recorded it at the time wanted us to have an audience that hadn't paid. They wanted a free audience. They hired the hall, and they wanted a completely free audience so they could stop and start if they wanted to. Well, as it turned out, the concert went straight through, and they didn't stop once. There were no stop starts at all. It was just a straight through concert. They recorded the whole thing, 26 songs, and they put it all out on a double LP originally, and then it became a double CD. And this one's come out now with Sanctuary Records. Castle Pulse, it's the label. But I can give you a name if you want to refer people to it.
Yes, please.
Well, it's called The Spinners, The Best of The Spinners, Maggie May, and it's on Castle Pulse label, which is a label of Sanctuary Records.
Okay.
Now, if they want to get in touch with Sanctuary Records,
yeah,
it's A29 Barwell Business Park, Leatherhead Road, Chessington, KT9 2NY.
2NY.
Or you can email info@sanctuaryrecords.co.uk and get all this information for nothing.
Okay, well, I'll be putting together a tribute to the Spinners with my podcast site. I've got to ask you about two songs, actually. The first one,
I'd say you can get onto Sanctuary. I'll give you a name afterwards, too, that you can get onto.
Okay.
To get records from. Right. Carry on what you're saying.
I was going to say, there are two songs that every now and again, you know, you'll find in life that certain things have had a tremendous impact on people, and you probably don't know about this at the time. Yeah. Now, do you remember your song, The Marco Polo?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that...
Well, Huey wrote it.
Well, it made such a big impression on me. I learned the song. I still sing the song. I still love the song.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, sometimes people don't get the chance to tell people what the impact has been during their life, you know.
Yeah.
Which is really one of the reasons why I wanted to start doing these type of interviews.
Yeah.
Paul's coming in here.
I was just going to ask you, though, at one time, you know, you were given the title of the best folk sound in the world.
Yeah, by whom?
Well, it was
sounds like one of us.
Yeah, it was one of the papers give you. You've topped the bill as being the best folk in the world.
Good heavens.
Yeah, you had that on the paper. I remember looking. Is anything relating to Liverpool that's good and whatever, bad, indifferent, I like to look at. And I remember looking at this, that you got that that title, the best folk band in the world. And I thought that was rather nice.
I think it's hilarious.
Well,
I mean, when you think of groups like the Weavers in America, Pete Seeger's group.
Well, there you go. You see,
if
you top things like that, you were right at the top anyway.
Well, I used to play your songs on Radio Merseyside when I was working for them.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to ask you whether you met this lady, because I went to work on a radio station in France, and all the French people were going mad for a song called Jan Nookie. And it was sung by a lady called Brenda Wootton. I'm sure you must have met her.
Oh, Brenda Wootton's from Cornwall.
That's right. That's
she sang with John the Fish.
Yeah, I think she... sadly, I think she's dead now, but...
I'm sure she is.
But, I mean... She
was the most... In the nicest possible way, she was the most overweight person I have ever known who actually got around and did things.
Yes, she certainly was a big lady. But the strange thing for myself was that, you know, I went across to work in Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on this radio station, which, you know, was always going to be a little bit difficult because obviously it's in French and everything. And then there's a Breton language superimposed there.
They all speak Welsh.
Well,
we all understand Welsh.
Well, no, you're right. In fact, I have a friend who is a Breton, and he comes across to me, and when we used to live in Cornwall, he'd drive around with me, and you know, he would translate all the signs as they that we were going around, and he did explain to me that all six Celtic languages they can each interact. And in fact, I'll tell you what, I'm going to quickly tell you this. I had the most wonderful experience. I went to it was a mass in Brittany midday on Easter
in Breton.
It was in Breton. And the lesson was written, was read by a Welshman in in Welsh.
And they understood it.
And they did. And just as he was reading it, this was in a monastery in Clonclerno, I think it was called. Anyway, it was in Brittany in France. Just
Concarno.
It might have been Concarno. It was certainly near there anyway. And just as he was reading the lesson in Welsh, it was almost like rays were coming down through the windows of this monastery. And all
go
the
on, you're sentimental.
Hey, I'll tell you something. It was a very, very moving moment, actually.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I felt that years ago, I never go to church, you know, anymore.
I've got... I'm just having a look at some of the things that you've written onto the internet. And it's funny, you know, because every now and again, you just come back to something that you have been there or whatever. This is Victoria Hall in Bevington.
Yeah.
In November 2005. Now, looking at what you're doing, the jazz does seem very bright, vibrant still. Is that the case?
Yes. I mean, there's I reckon there's about 15 bands and jazz clubs on Merseyside. Traditional jazz. When you think about it, if you go stretching from Southport to Chester, it's stretching it a bit, but still. From Southport to Chester, and from sort of Heswell, West Kirby, to Runcorn, Widnes. If you count that big square, there's about 15 jazz clubs and bands playing.
Well, now, is the Quaintways?
There's jazz every night of the week.
Is Quaintways still going? The Wall City Jazz?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's still going.
Well, same band, yeah.
Wow, I didn't realise that was still about.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
We have our jazz bands over here. We have quite a few jazz bands over here, which is quite nice. It rests a lot of people. You know, a lot of people go and enjoy it on Sundays, usually.
Yeah, where are you exactly?
We're in Altea.
Which is about 7 miles going from Benidorm towards Valencia.
But Ian Royal's living over there now, the trumpet player, Ian Royal.
Well, it could well be that...
have you heard of Ian Royal?
I have to be honest with you, I haven't.
But he's from Manchester.
Yeah.
But he's a terrific trumpet player. He's just been home on a holiday, and he played sat in with a couple of bands, and you know, people remembered how good he'd been. Yeah. And he is a terrific trumpet player.
Well, if he's in this area, I'm pretty sure that he probably will have gone and sat in at the likes of the Malibu Club, which is where a lot of musicians do migrate.
Well, he's running a club of his own over there, of some sort.
Who is he?
Well, he's running a jazz club. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now then, what's in the years to come for you, then? What do you think...
I don't know, I've got my band. I've got my lovely band.
Yeah.
Tony Davis Band. And at the end of this month, on bank holiday, on the Friday night, because normally, the last Sunday of the month, we do a jazz brunch at Fort Perch Rock in New Brighton.
Yes.
The big red sandstone fort at the mouth of the Mersey.
We've had Dougie Durock on the show, actually.
Oh, yeah, Dougie Dodder.
Yes,
oh,
yes. And in fact, what we started to look at is the Merseybeat phenomenon.
Yeah.
And of course, through this, I've got various names of which, of course, I've been able to get your number. And of course, it's opening up all sorts of avenues that I think still need to be explored.
Yeah.
You know, these have been wonderful times, and I think...
Well, as I say, we normally do his place the last Sunday of the month for a jazz brunch, but... The last Sunday in August will be bank holiday, so I suggested to Dougie that we do a special on the Friday night instead of in the Sunday lunchtime. So Friday night, we've got George Galway, James Galway's brother.
All right.
Marvellous flute player, clarinet and soprano sax and alto sax and tenor sax. Great musician is George. And he's going to be our special guest on the 24th of August at Fort Perch Rock. My birthday, actually, as well.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday in advance for that particular day.
Happy birthday.
In fact, we do have a little tradition. I suppose I better do this quickly. If it's your birthday coming up, well, we shall do this. Here we go.
Right then, darling. Have an absolutely fabulous birthday, sweetie.
Who's that?
This is our little gimmick.
The Ab Fab Girls. The Simply Fabulous Girls.
Yeah.
And obviously, we wanted to make sure that we let you know that we've enjoyed your music. And the Spinners have been a very big part of many of us out here, by the way. Yeah. Not just us at the radio station. The more I've spoken with people that we were going to do this interview, the more people have seemed to come out of the woodwork and tell us bits and pieces of their experiences with you.
Yeah.
Where they sang Kumbaya, for example.
Well, people are always asking me about where can we get... There was a book written about us, you know, called Fried Bread and Brandy-O.
Oh, right.
Written by David Stuckey.
Okay.
Who used to be on the Daily Post, and he does Radio Merseyside. He does a religious program or something now. And he wrote a book about it. It's very well done. It was published by Robson Books.
Yeah.
At Bolsover House, 5 to 6 Clipstone Street, London West 1P7EB. And that may or may not be possibly obtainable still. I don't know. But it's called Fried Bread and Brandy-O.
Well, what I'll do, when I'm making the page up for the website, I'll put as many links as I possibly can. Obviously, I'll link it to to your current activities.
Wow.
And, I mean, the thing is, it's these are great memories for a lot of people. And, you know, your music isn't as easy to get hold of these days. You know,
right.
it's a shame.
Well, we keep getting these nice names in and having a chat with them, and it's quite nice to go back in time and reminisce a little bit. You know, I can't remember. I knew we had worked together quite a few times.
Yeah.
We've been on the bill together, but there's those...
Mostly charity things, I think.
Yeah, charity things and things like that. And I know the last time we were together was on this command thing, Liverpool command thing, in aid of children in need or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know that was the last time, and we did... One or two of the band, one or two of the lads in your band, we had a natter with. And, the Merseybeats were on with us.
Oh, yeah.
The Merseybeats were there, who over the years we've played a lot. We've had a lot of fun with. We've been in digs together.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been more or less mates.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever shared digs together, have we?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Probably best not to say too much about that anyway. Tony, sorry if I spoiled your shopping trip on Wednesday.
Not at all. It was my fault.
Okay, because, you know...
It's me. I should have remembered.
No, Liz, it's been brilliant, and I'm really pleased that we've had this chat. And and obviously, I wish you all the very best for the future.
Yeah, same from me.
And just bear in the back of your mind that there are people who you'll never know exactly what effect you've had on them with your music, and we've had a chance to tell you today.
Thanks a lot.
Tony, all the very best for the future.
All the best, Tony.
Thank you. There we are. That's Tony Davis from the Spinners. And